May God bless each one here this morning or wherever you are. I do want to greet you in the name of the one that said these words. Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. That was nobody less than Jesus Christ himself that said those words. So it is in his name that we have gathered this morning in kind of unusual way. Again, wherever you are and you are listening, we do welcome you and we wish you Lord's blessing. Now, I know this is a Resurrection Sunday today, and I hope I can tie the resurrection message to the message that I have today, this morning, somehow. Since the message that I want to share this morning is somewhat negative, at least that's what I thought. I thought it was a negative message, but before I started studying into it, and the more I study into it, the more I thought about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and what it means to us, the more I realized the glorious positive influence of the gospel message in this negative subject. So just hang with me. I didn't say hang me. I said hang with me. Okay? So I would like to preach on the subject of death, or the fact that we are mortal beings. And the title of the message, I decided to title it, I Am Going to Die. I Am Going to Die is the title for the message this morning. Like I said, it sounds very negative. It is a morbid title for a message in the Resurrection Sunday morning. But hang with me and we'll see what God has for us. I don't know how many of you read the article that Brother Tim forwarded to us on a Brother Dublin Brothers chat. He forwarded an article written by C.S. Lewis. And the title of it is On Living in an Atomic Age. And it was written in 1948. And I just want to remind you, of course, that's a long time ago. That was the same year my mother was born. And this time, it was the atomic age. I believe it was, if I'm not mistaken, it was in 1945. In August of 1945 is whenever the two atomic bombs were dropped in Japan that helped end the World War II. So just think about this. The people that were living in that era of time, they were confronted with something new. It was a big threat. The devastation of an atomic bomb is just extensive. It's tremendous. And this is when the time when this man, C.S. Lewis, wrote this article. And I'm just going to read it. I'm just going to take the time. It's not a long article. So just think about this. They're facing something new, something, a threat to their normal lives, pretty much like we are today. We'll tie it in at the end here. But it says like this. In one way, we think a great deal too much of the atomic bomb. How are we to live in an atomic age? I'm tempted to reply, why? As you would have lived in the 16th century when the plague visited London almost every year. Or as you have lived in the Viking age when raiders from Scandinavia might land and cut your throat any night. Or indeed, as you are already living in an age of cancer, an age of syphilis, and an age of paralysis, an age of air raids, an age of railway accidents, an age of motor accidents. In other words, do not let us begin by exaggerating the novelty of our situation. Believe me, dear sir or madam, you and all whom you love were already sentenced to death before the atomic bomb was invented. And quite a high percentage of us were going to die in unpleasant ways. We had, indeed, one very great advantage over our ancestors, anesthetics. But we have that still, and it's perfectly ridiculous to go about whimpering and drawing long faces because the scientists have added one more chance of painful and premature death to a world which already bristled with such chances, and in which death itself was not a chance at all, but a certainty. This is the first point to be made, and the first action to be taken is to pull ourselves together. If we are all going to be destroyed by an atomic bomb, let that bomb, when it comes, find us doing sensible and human things, like praying, working, teaching, reading, listening to music, bathing the children, playing tennis, chatting to our friends over a pint and game of darts. Not huddled together like frightened sheep and thinking about bombs. They may break our bodies, a microbe can do that, but they need not dominate our minds. I thought it was very interesting, that article, simply because they were facing something new, a threat to their lives, to their normal lives, and that was a potential living in fear. Well, let's bring it to 2020 today. We already have a long list of things that cause death in our day today, that cause death to our bodies. We have accidents. We have all kinds of cancers, diseases, heart attacks, etc., etc., etc. Now we just need to add COVID-19 to our list, or something that can bring death. Now, I'm not trying to make light of COVID-19, don't get me wrong, but it was just so interesting to read this article, and let's make sure that we remember we were all sentenced to death. That's my point this morning. So, the first point, I have three main points on the message this morning. Of course, we have a couple sub-points under those. But the first one I would like to mention is the reality of death. The reality of death. The Bible says that the truth shall make us free. So I'm just trying to tell myself the truth. Okay, we know that the Jesus embodied the truth because he is the Word. He said in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But Jesus is the whole embodiment of truth. But we need to learn how to tell ourselves the truth. And the reality is that the Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." It is appointed unto men once to die. So we all have an appointment. We have heard that already. We said nobody's going to be late to that appointment. We have appointments with doctors, we have appointments with people, and sometimes we're running late. But nobody's going to be late for this one. Whenever it's your time to die. That's the reality to all of us. I remember when I was in school, that's been a long time ago when I was in school, and we were studying the book of subject of science, and we learned that all living things have at least four qualities that make him a living thing, or characteristics. And they're born, they grow, they reproduce, and die. They're born, they grow, they reproduce, and die. And somehow or another, it is fascinating to us as we think of the different facets of life, or the different phases of life. We love to think about, especially think of living things, specifically as us living creatures that we are, as human beings, we like to think whenever a child is born, a baby is born, a cute picture goes around and tell the name, how much they weighed and how much they measure, and all those neat things, and we excited. New life has begun. They're born. We get excited to see the children grow up, even though they're kind of growing faster than what we can keep up with. Then it comes a time whenever you are an adult and you start looking for a spouse to get married. You get married and you reproduce keeping humankind going. But somehow or another, we shy away from the last phase of life, which is death. Nobody wants to talk about that. And the truth of it is in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1 and 2, gives a time for different things. It says, Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. So that is the truth. That is a time to die. And I'm not sure what brought me to this message. I hope I'm not going to die soon, but if that's the case, maybe that's a preparation for me. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 says like this, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. I just want to emphasize this, that the outward man perish. In the Spanish Bible, it says that your body is desgastando. It means that it is wearing out. That's the word. Desgastando means it's wearing down or wearing out to the point that you're going to die. The body is going to die. In this verse, it's very interesting that even that is happening to your body, I hope that the inward man, that spiritual man inside of you, is renewed day by day. You can feel younger inside, not outside. So I want you to repeat after me, wherever you are this morning, we're not here at church, we're not going to make a big commotion, but you can repeat after me right there, laying on the couch or sitting on the chair by the table, wherever you are, just repeat after me and let's get it over with. I am going to die. Do you repeat it? Or you were scared of saying it? Well, maybe you're scared of saying it. Let me just do you a favor. I will say it for you. You will die. So there you have it. We got it over with. We are going to die. I am going to die. You are going to die as well. That is that pointed thing. You'll probably remember the humorous story. I almost think that I heard the late Brother Gene tell this story. I think I heard that story before he told it, but I remember listening to him telling this story. And it's a humorous story, and I'll tell it anyway. Since we're not gathered all here this morning, you can laugh quietly in your kitchen, at your kitchen table. But the story went like this of the preacher that was preaching revival messages, right? And one evening, he was preaching away, and after the sermon, he asked of those people, he asked this question, all of you that want to go to heaven, please stand up. And everybody stood up except for the drunkard man that had come in late and sat on the back pew. He remained seated. So the preacher said, man, I'm going to try again. Maybe he didn't understand my question. And he said, those of you that want to go to heaven, please stand up. And the drunkard still stayed on his seat. Well, he decided to go out back there, kind of like Brother Aaron did, right? He went out there and said, my friend, do you mean to tell me that you don't want to go to heaven? He said, yes, sir, I want to go to heaven. But why didn't you stand up? Well, I thought that you might be getting a load ready to go tonight, he said. So what he meant is that he really wanted to go to heaven, but not yet. Or maybe he just knew that he wasn't ready, whatever the case is. So we laugh about that story. But the question is, are we really much different than that man? When we go to funerals, don't we think some thoughts, or is it just me that thinks this? Like, poor people, they lost a loved one. Poor people, they lost their son. I'm glad it wasn't my son. I'm glad it wasn't my wife. I'm glad it wasn't my dad. I'm glad it wasn't me. Don't we think those kind of thoughts? Why? Because somehow or another, we are kind of on the same boat with that drunkard man. We know that heaven is real. We know that in our heads. When it comes down to it, somehow or another, we don't want to die. Why? That's the second part of the message. Why do we fear death? I got 4 points of why do we fear death. And I learned a new word that I know existed. It's thanatophobia. It just means the phobia of death. It's overwhelming anxiety of death. And that can be a reality to us. There's many Christian people that are scared of dying. And I will be honest with you, I don't think of that it will be a pleasant thing. And before I go any further, maybe I should make a clarification. I'm not suggesting that we wake up every morning wishing to die. I don't think that's natural. That is not what we need to do. Going around, man, I wish I could, a 18-wheeler drives over me today. Jonah did that. He said death would be better than life because he was mad. I don't think that's what we are needing to do. But I'm just saying we don't need to be scared of dying. Most of us have the other problem. I don't think in general we don't have, you know, that other problem that we are wanting to die. But why do we fear death? Why don't we face that reality and say we're going to die? Now, I am very thankful that God does not let us know when is our appointed time to go. Because that would be pretty hard to live life whenever I know that tomorrow is my last day. I don't know how would you cope with life. Or worse yet, if he would have left it up to me when I die, I would have died a long time ago, I guess. But God is in control of that. But why do we fear death? Okay, get back to my point. Point number one is we fear death because God did not create man to die. You got it? God did not create man to die. In Genesis 2 verse 7 says, "And the Lord God formed man out of the dust, of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Now, I love the English version of this verse. I know I referred a lot of time to my Spanish says this. I love the English version of this verse because it says he became a living soul. In the Spanish, simply says he became a living creature. Or a living being is what he says. In the English, it says a living soul. So, with that, can you imagine, none of other creation, none of the plants, none of the animals, do we read that God breathed in them his breath of life. But he did breathe his breath of life into humans. And if you're going to be living because of the breath of life from God, that means that you're eternal. God made you a living soul to live forever. So God did not create a man so he would die. So it's reverse, it's a reverse or it's a result of something else beside the creation of God. And that is my second point. Why do we fear death? Second point is the result of sin. Is the result of sin. Genesis 2:17, God commanded Adam and Eve, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." So there you have it. It was because of sin, that disobedience that they had toward God, that death came into the earth. And Romans brings that up. Listen to this verse in Romans 5:12. "Wherefore, as by one man sin enter into the world, and death by sin, and so death pass upon all men, for that all have sinned." Now let me put it in my own words. Well, I'm going to read it, Romans 6:23. "For the wages of sin is death." Is death. So basically what he's saying is the sin entered through one man. So wherever sin comes in, what follows? Death. Because that is the result of sin. Or that is the wages of sin. Or that is the recompense of sin. It's death. So if sin came into the world by one man, death was right behind it as a result. And so now death passed upon all of us because we all have sin. That's pretty simple. So why do we fear death? Point one, God did not create a man to die. Point two is the result of sin. Thirdly, death is an enemy. How many of you like enemies? I don't like enemies. The Bible says specifically in 1 Corinthians 15:26, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is what? Is death. So death is an enemy. That's why you don't like it. I don't like death. Nobody likes death. Why? Because it's an enemy. And the last point, just a little observation that I made. Number four, we don't like death because it's unknown. I don't know of anybody that has died and can come and tell me what it feels like it, what's on the other side, what happens after your heart quits pumping, what happens after you breathe your last breath, what happens next. I don't know. I mean, we kind of know through the Word of God, but what I'm saying is nobody has gone there and come back and tell us. Beside the Lord Jesus Christ. And even in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there's a lot of things obscure there. We don't know exactly what he felt. So it is unknown. The psalmist said like this in Psalm 55:4, my heart is sore pain within me, and the terrors of death are falling upon me. The terrors of death have fallen upon me. So, I'm not going to blame you if you have fear of death. But don't let that fear control you. That's my point. Let's get the truth. We're going to die. Don't let it control you. That is my third part of the message. Why we shouldn't fear death. It's natural for us to fear death. I told you already that. But why we shouldn't fear death. Point number one. We don't need to fear death because Jesus abides with us. And not just with us, but in us. Conjunction with us, he's with us. Great companion. But the Bible even goes further. It uses the preposition in us, meaning that his presence is inside of us. In John 15, Jesus talks about the vine. You're the vine. The Father is the husbandman. And you are the branches. I don't know if I said that right. Jesus said that he is the vine. Sorry if I said something wrong there. But in verse 4 it says, abide in me and I in you. And as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. So you know what that does? And I'm going to show you my second point. I'm not done with this point yet, but on my second point, I want to illustrate to you why it's so important, this point, that Jesus is with us. But first of all, let me give you a personal testimony of how the presence of Jesus in my life helped me whenever I was faced with the death of my mother. Okay? My mother fell very, very ill. I think it was on a Sunday afternoon. We never confirmed that, but we think she had a second stroke after the first one she had about 2 years prior to that. My mom was very, very sick, and we knew it probably was her deathbed that she fell there. So on Thursday, should we go? So I decided to fly down to El Salvador. She was living in El Salvador at that time, like most of you know, but I say that in case somebody doesn't know. And that night, I stayed with her in her room at the hospital. My mom was on her deathbed, And there I was. I was tired from travel. I decided to stay there and spend the night there. I didn't know if my mom could hear me or not. I tried talking to her. I prayed for her. And that evening, I think some of you have heard this story before, but it doesn't matter. There was a thunderstorm like you only see there. Well, I guess in Georgia we do have some severe thunderstorms. But there was lightning. There was thunder. There was wind. There was torrential rain. Just pouring. And I could see at the window, through the light of the lightning, a tree that was blowing from side to side. And the rain just pounding on the roof of that hospital, that building. And there as I was, thinking Mom is about to die, I really felt that I was in the valley of the shadow of death. Even though I wasn't going through that shadow of death, but I could see it, I could feel it, that my mom was there. And you know what? The verse, which verse came to my mind? It's Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And somehow or another, in the midst of that turmoil and emotional devastation that I was feeling, the thought of God, of Jesus being with me, helped me. Helped me not to fear, because He was with me. Even though there was storm, even though there was death staring at our faces, and there that presence helped us. The Bible says that there's nothing can destroy this presence of Jesus in us unless you willfully reject His presence, is the clause I put there. But there are some verses in Romans 8:38. It says the love of God. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which includes His presence with us. Because if God loves you, He wants to be with you. He wants to be in you. And He says this, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Why? Now, let me go to my next point, my second point. Why is it so important that Jesus' presence is with us? Why that simple fact will bring comfort to us and help us not to fear death? And the reason is this. Point number two. Jesus has conquered death. Jesus has conquered death. Now listen to this verse in Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same. Now listen, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Can you imagine? We were all in fear of death. And it were like a bondage. I don't know what all implies to this. But people are in bondage to the fear of death. But whenever we have Jesus' presence in us, we can relax. Why? Because He has conquered. He, through His death, He destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil. 1 Corinthians 15:26 already referred to this verse, that the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Death will be destroyed. It's not destroyed yet. You and I will die physically. But one day, death will be destroyed. Revelation 1:18, I started with this verse. I greeted you in the name of the one that said these verses. I am He that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Can you imagine that? Jesus, through his death, destroyed the one that had the power over death, that is the devil. And through his death, he has now the keys of hell and of death. So the logic is simple. If we by faith, I know faith is not a simple thing sometimes. It takes a lot of faith, and it's like, do I really believe all this? But if we believe that Jesus conquered death, not just death, but the one that had the power over death, that is the devil, and that he has the keys for hell and for death, and that one day he shall destroy death. If we really believe this, and that same Jesus lives in my heart, why do I fear death? There's no need to fear death, because he is with us. He abides in us, and that his presence is with us and in us. Do we need to fear death? No, we don't need to fear death because of that. Third point, why we should not fear death? Because we have hope of life after death. You remember in John 11, Jesus went to wake up Lazarus. He told his disciples Lazarus is sleeping. And his disciples thought, if he's sleeping, he's going to get better of his coronavirus. Just let him sleep. Jesus knew he had passed away. He could have easily been the coronavirus, but they didn't know it, that took him. And that's not my point. But there in chapter 11, verse 25, or in the previous verses, Jesus met with Martha. And Martha said, Jesus, if you would have been here, my brother would have not died. And I know whatever you ask of the Father, he will give it to you. And Jesus told him he will live. And Martha knew about the resurrection on the latter days. They said, yes, I know he will be raised in the latter days. And Jesus said these words, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Wow. That is Jesus. Even though we die, we live. And he said, if we believe in me, you're not going to die. I'm guessing he means not the second death. Because there's many people that have believing Jesus that have died physically. But the second death has no power over them, the Bible says. 1 John 2:25 says, and this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. And we think of the most known verse of the Bible, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life. John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. So there we have it, brethren, that we have hope of life after death. And I'm going to just turn to Romans chapter 5. I was going to read a couple verses there, but I think we touched into those verses already, how sin came into the world by one man, and because of sin, death. So now death has passed to all men, because death is the result of sin, and we all have sin, so we all going to die. But there at the end of chapter 5, I'm going to just read you verse 21. That as sin had reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. And the fourth reason why we should not fear death, number one was Jesus abides with us and in us. His presence, however you wrote it. Number two, Jesus conquered death. Number three, we have life. We have hope of life after death. And number four, when we by faith believe these points, death becomes the gateway to something better. Now, it's easy for me to say that. It's a different thing to believe it. That death is simple or simply a gateway to enter into something better. Why do we hesitate to go through it? Maybe, and I know I wasn't planning to get into this, but the thought came to my mind. I need to explain this. I need to make a comment. How do we navigate through this thought, into our medical world today? Whenever you are 85 years old, you know you're going to die, you're almost there, your body, like I told you, desgastando, is wearing out, or basically wore out, and you get some kind of disease, and the doctors can do an operation to extend your misery, really, for 2 more years. What is the point? Whenever you don't want to go through that gate. Now, I know there's many different scenarios. There's many different aspects. I think of a young man that has some kind of tumor in his head, has 5 children, young children. I would recommend to try to do an operation, try to keep him as long as we can, simply because of his family. But you get my burden. How do we navigate through this? I'm not saying that we don't need to take precautions because of the COVID-19. But don't be fearful. If you get it and you die, you're going to die anyway. That's my point. I'm not saying to be careless now. Don't take it. But when we die, when we by faith believe these points, death becomes the gateway to something better. Psalm 116:15 says like this, precious in the sight of the Lord is the what? The death of his saints. Precious. Wait a minute. That's a different story. How can that be precious? That's what the Bible says. Why? Because it's a gateway to something better. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 1. This is the beauty of, I guess it's not ideal to be preaching here and you're at home, but if you get so tired, you can go to the kitchen, get a drink or get a snack. If you are about to famish. So don't blame me if we get over time here. But here it says in Philippians chapter 1, you can see the testimony of Paul. It says in verse 21, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Wow. Paul is saying to me, listen to his heart. For if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I will not. In other words, I don't know what to choose. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. Now, I understand. I already told you why it's natural for us to fear death. And we shouldn't be desiring to die, especially if we have families to take care of. But, brethren, I am concerned that we have lost the vision that something is better beyond. We get accustomed to this world. We want to keep the business going. We want to keep the dollars coming. And we worry about all that. Whenever Paul is saying to be with Christ will be far better. And those of you who can understand Spanish, it says muchísimo mejor. A superlative adjective that would be far, far better to go than to stay here. In conclusion, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I cannot go through a Resurrection Sunday without reading at least part of this great chapter of the resurrection. Maybe we should have preached about this, but somehow or another, this message was laid on my heart to preach. But we're going to tie it together. And all this, you probably know all this already. We talked about Jesus' presence being with us. We talk about not fearing death because Jesus conquered death. How do we know that he conquered death? It was through his death. But more than that, it was because of his resurrection. He came out of the grave. Death could not hold him in. And this is the whole argument of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul is making an argument here. How necessary was the resurrection, the logic of resurrection, and all those things. And when he comes to the end, he talks about the benefits of having the hope of resurrection. Because when you die, because we're all going to die, unless Jesus comes back. But when you die, after you die, there's a hope of resurrection. Why? Because Jesus was raised from the dead first. And he conquered death. He destroyed the one that had dominion over death. He holds the key of death and of hell. Here in chapter 15, I'm going to read verse 51 to the end of the chapter. And by now, I do have to admit that not everybody is going to die. When Jesus comes, there are going to be people living. This is what he says here. But if he holds his coming, you and I will die. It's appointed for men to die. But here it is. Verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. I just love the Apostle Paul saying, we shall not all sleep. He didn't even say, we're not going to die. But that's what he's talking about. Of death. But he's calling us sleepy. A sleepiness. You're sleeping. Not everybody's going to sleep, but we all shall be changed. Now think about this. I put this at the very end because of my last point. Death is just a gateway for something better. Why do we have to go through death? And his Paul's argument here is, okay, if you're not dead when Jesus comes back, you still have to experience a transformation. Why? Because for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Whenever Jesus comes back, and those that are living are going to be transformed, and they're going to be clothed with immortality. And those in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is a parallel passage to this. It almost says about the same thing. But those that were dead in Christ shall rise. Then death will be swallowed up in victory. Then we can sing, we can shout, O death, where is thy sting? In the meantime, we experience the sting of death. But one day, death will be swallowed up in victory. And I'm just going to end with a verse in 1 Thessalonians 4:18. It's a parallel passage to this passage that I just read. At the end of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18, it says like this, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. May God bless each one as we face the last stage of living things, which is death. You will die. I will die. But there is hope beyond the grave.